This is Crime Binge.
Welcome to Crime Binge,
the Halloween special,
and Sarah's birthday. Boo, 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 boo.
Yay.
That's me trying to do like the foghorn noise, but it never sounds like a foghorn.
I get it.
But
it's excitement.
Sarah is a spooky baby and was born on Halloween.
I 25 now.
Our Halloween special and Sarah's birthday episode.
Yep.
I don't know if that's a thing, but we're going to make it a thing.
Also, like, my boyfriend's birthday is this week.
Yes.
So, like, also happy birthday to you.
Also happy birthday to you, Corey. But not really, because your birthday isn't as cool as Sarah's.
I mean.
When is his birthday again?
The 29th.
29th. Okay. Yeah.
So, technically, tomorrow on the day we're recording this.
Nice. Well.
So, for this episode, we asked our friends and family and listeners to send us in their stories of either true crime or spooky, ghost story, paranormal, whatever the fuck they wanted.
Yeah.
Anything Halloween-ish. Halloween-like. And so, we got a couple stories that we're going to read for you.
Yeah.
But, Morgan, do you have a spooky story?
Or no. Am I going to start it off with? Okay, guys, this is my spooky story that isn't that spooky. I just have a lady ghost friend who follows me around, and I've only seen her 3 times, but she's still a ghost lady for sure, because it's only happened 3 times. I don't know why I'm going to say, like, I see her all the time. This lady who's, like, dressed in what I can only describe as all white, but, like, Victorian era clothes, so like the high ruffly neck, the like long sleeves with the ruffles at the sleeve and everything like that. And each time I've seen her, I've just like seen this lady in white walk past, like out a window or something like that, and then I'm like, what the fuck, there's a lady in all white, and turn my head and she's not there anymore. And she couldn't have gotten down the street that fast. And one time I saw her outside of my friend's, like, I think it was, like, her kitchen dining room that went out into her backyard. So, like, I saw her walk past there. So, like,
no, thank you.
She, I don't know who she is, why she's hanging out with me, but she hasn't done anything fucking creepy yet other than walk around.
Now that you've talked about
her. Yeah, now she's, I'm going to, like, wake up tonight and she's going to be, like, standing above me and I just gave myself sleep paralysis.
Yes,
like,
you did.
I guaranteed that I'll have sleep paralysis tonight. Oh, no. I get that really frequently, actually.
I just got it for the first time, like, a couple weeks ago.
I know.
And it's fucking terrible.
It's fucking
Holy
horrifying.
Shit.
And I always see just, like, in the doorway, a really tall, like, dark figure standing there. And I'm like, wow, rip me.
I hate it. I'm already feeling spooky.
But... do you want to just get right into these fucking stories?
Sure. So this first story is from someone named Tim. And Tim says, I used to live in a small town in Illinois where a woman, a 27-year-old housewife named Sheila Epcar, murdered her 4 children before taking her own life in January 1989. She committed the act somewhere in between 3:30 p.m., where she had some strange phone calls with a friend, and 5:15 p.m. when her husband returned home from work and discovered the scene. Sheila killed her eldest daughter, Casey, who was 8 years old first. And the way that she killed the kids was kind of weird. She took Casey to the bathroom and tried to strangle her using a towel. When that didn't work, she drowned Casey, who was fully clothed, in the bathtub. After she was dead, Sheila took her out of the bathtub, removed Casey's clothes, threw them in the corner, and then put Casey's body back in the filled bathtub. Next, Sheila made these makeshift beds in the kitchen by putting blankets and pillows on the floor and made her other 3 children, Shannon, who was 5, Mandy, who was 2, and Lance, who was 16 months, lay down on them. She then turned on the unlit gas stove in hopes of asphyxiating the children. After she realized this would take too long, she made each child, who were dressed in their Sunday best, sit on the couch, where she proceeded to shoot each child in the head. Lastly, she sat down on the couch herself and shot herself in the head as well. There was never a motive as to why she did it. And the homeowner that actually lived in the house before the Epcars had also committed suicide.
Weird.
And Tim goes on to say, I didn't live in this town in 1989, but I did a few years later when I moved into that very same house. And the creepy neighbor decided it would be cool to tell the kid that moved into the house all about it. And he said he was in, like, middle school.
Yeah. Also, like, low-key, Mia's a neighbor.
Right?
That always creeps me out when there's, like, multiple deaths in a house that are, like, really similar to each other. Like, low-key, probably just postpartum. But also, haunted. Could be spooky ghost shit. So our next story is a little shorter, but it is from Cody. And it says, I have multiple ghost stories, but one that stands out is when I was younger. This is when Skype first came out and everyone was using it, which, like, I used to Skype people just for shits and gigs,
right?
Like, instead of calling them. I was in a video call with my cousin when he went away for a while. After a few minutes, a girl showed up on the webcam and sat in front of it. It didn't faze me because my cousin's house always had people in and out of it, so I assumed it was just one of his friends. I tried talking with her, but she didn't say anything. She was just looking into the webcam. The quality was pretty bad back then, so it was very blurry and, like, pixely. My cousin was coming back down the stairs, and she got up and bolted. The lights turned on, and he sat down. I asked him who was over at his house, and he said no one. It was just him and his uncle there. Or my uncle. Cody's uncle there. Horrible. I don't like that at all.
Especially just, like, staring at the person.
Oh, yeah. Just, like, never ending that stare.
So, our next one is also from Cody because he was great and he had two stories that he wanted to share. So, he said, when my family moved into our new house, we think there was a disturbed spirit living there. It was the third week of living in the house. I was laying in bed and my cat was laying on the corner of my bed. I heard the door open slightly, and me and the cat instantly looked at the door. My cat's stare was locked on something at almost walking speed towards the foot of my bed. I felt chills throughout my entire body as my cat's stare was locked at the foot of my bed. I felt my ankles get grabbed, tugged on, and causing my cat to hiss uncontrollably. Then it just let go and seemed to leave the room as the door shut by itself.
Don't like that. Literally, like, the idea of a ghost touching me freaks me out. Except I have, and this only happens at Brittany's house.
Mm-hmm.
I think she has, like, a like, animal ghost.
Okay.
Because we were, like, all sitting at a table and my back was to the window. And I swear to God, a cat, like, put its paw on my shoulder. And there was nothing there. And then another time we were sitting at the same table and I felt one of her dogs, like, put their hand on my knee.
Mm-hmm.
And I went down to pet it and there was no dog there. And I looked up and they were both sleeping in the bed, like, across from the table.
Wow.
So, like,
that's crazy.
If something grabbed me, I would literally shit my pants.
Yeah.
And burn down the house. So this one is from someone named Wendy. My friend and I were out one night, and instead of driving home in the snow, she decided to stay the night at my apartment. It was upstairs in a big house with shutters on the inside of the windows instead of curtains. Every night, I would slide them shut for privacy. That night, we went to sleep, and in the middle of the night, I thought I heard the shutters open. I woke up, and sure enough, there was light from the streetlights shining in. I was sleepy, so I just dozed back off to sleep. In the morning, the shutters were still open, and I said to my friend, I had the weirdest dream last night that the flutters flew open. Jesus Christ. I had the weirdest dream last night that the shutters flew open. And she said, then I had that same fucking dream. Which would be terrible.
Right.
And then another story about the same apartment. My friend and I would often eat breakfast at my place after being out. Each time she would drink her coffee with sugar, but I preferred black. I kept the sugar bowl in the same cabinet always. One night I opened the cabinet to get the sugar for her coffee, and the sugar bowl was not there. I was so puzzled as I lived alone and no one else would be using the sugar. Still, I searched high and low but could not find that sugar bowl. So mysterious. Fast forward a few weeks later, she comes over for breakfast, I make coffee, and out of habit, go to the cabinet for the sugar for her, and it's there, front and center. I slammed the cabinet shut and my friends asked what's wrong. I looked at her and just said, sugar bowl. She opened the cabinet and sure enough, it's there. The sugar is rock hard, but who knows where it had been all those weeks and how it got back in the cabinet. We still talk about that to this day. Which, like, I feel like I hear that all the time.
Where things just go missing and then they're right back where you left them.
Yeah, like, ghosts definitely like to fuck with you.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
What else are you going to do as your time as a ghost? Other than fuck with people,
I told my boyfriend that if I ever die, I'm just going to haunt him. So the next one is from my boyfriend, Corey. And I asked if I could say it was from him before I just said it. And so he says, it all started when my buddy Ryan and I were asked by his dad to go on a vacation/road trip up to their house in North Carolina to a small town called Murphy. We were stoked to be able to get away from the town that we lived in for a little while and see some new things in a different state. So we head off to North Carolina quite early in the morning, and needless to say, neither one of us were ready to start a road trip at 5 a.m., but we got in the truck and headed out. It seemed like the drive took us forever to get there, with only stopping a few times to get snacks and drinks on our way to Murphy. After the 9.5-hour drive, we finally arrived in North Carolina to our destination. Now, needless to say, when you have two teenagers cooped up in a car for that long, they tend to sleep for most of the time and are quite eager to get out when you arrive, and that we were. When we arrived to the house, it sat up on this hill that overlooked a ton of farmland and pastures. The big metal gate swung open and we headed towards the house. Not too long after we arrived, I started to have a strange feeling about where we were. Maybe because I was 9.5 hours away from my friends and family in a place that I'd never been before, but Ryan assured me that everything was all good and we had free rein on whatever it was we wanted to do in the time that we were there. So, like most teenage boys, we decided to go explore the property a little bit just to see what kind of things we could find. Didn't find anything good. So a couple of days have passed, and at this point, we're getting ready to go to bed. I was sleeping on a couple of sleeping bags on the floor in Ryan's room, and because my cell phone didn't have good service where him and I were, we would switch back and forth using his phone and the laptop to be able to talk to our girlfriends and surf the internet.
He had a girlfriend before you? How dare
I
he?
I know, right?
As a teen? Fuck him. Sorry, I'm just kidding.
No, that was... I was like, excuse me? This is about someone else? So I start to get that same weird feeling that I had gotten when arriving to the house just a couple days prior, but tried to tell myself exactly what Ryan had told me before. It's all good, man. Don't worry about it. So it was my turn to use the laptop and his turn to use the phone, so we switched. And when we did, we heard a very strange noise coming from outside the window. Now, mind you, this is a two-story house on stilts on the side of a massive hill. We go to the window and don't see anything outside, so we play it off like nothing happened. But then it happened again, and this time it sounded more like if you were to drag a shovel across concrete, which sounds terrible.
Yeah. That's like the hash-slinging slasher is coming for you.
This time, Ryan didn't hear it, so I go to the window and look out and see a man walking away from the house and what I could only put together in my mind as a Confederate soldier. At this point, I'm pretty freaked out, so I just sit back down and start to tell my girlfriend what was going on, and she said, stop watching so many movies, but this was no movie. You're so dramatic. I love it. I calmed down after about 30 minutes or so from what I can remember, and I realized it was about 15 minutes past the time that Ryan and I were supposed to switch. So I look up at Ryan, and there's a figure standing on the side of his bed, and I figured it was his dad. So I said, Billy, what are you doing up? No response. I then asked Ryan, what's your dad doing in here, dude? It's like 1:30 in the morning. And he said, he's not in here. It's just you and me. So at this point, I'm shitting bricks because I have no idea what's going on. And then the figure steps even closer to Ryan and had a sword in his hand. And he extended it and he put it directly under Ryan's chin. And I said, Ryan, don't fucking move. He said, why? And I said, there's someone standing right next to you with a sword to your throat. I locked eyes with the figure for a good 15 to 20 seconds. And in that time, I couldn't see it, but I heard cannons and gunfire going off in the distance. And with every few seconds, it seemed to get closer and louder. And it got so loud that I couldn't help myself but look out the window really quickly. And when I did and turned back around, he was gone. I didn't sleep for the rest of the night. Even to this day, if I try to remember the sights and sounds of that night, it will play back like a movie in my mind. And I sometimes still have dreams about that night.
That's fucking creepy.
Mm-hmm. No, thank you, sir.
Yeah, no, I'm totally good on that. And this story is from friend of the show, Lauren.
Yes, we love Lauren.
And here it is. While working alone on a weekend, I saw a black silhouette slash mass of a person running towards me through the cubicles. Didn't freak me out at first because I thought it was someone just fucking with me. So I got up and walked around to see who was there, but there was no one else on the floor. Then I freaked out. After that, I would occasionally feel like I was being watched, hear bangs on the ceiling directly above my desk, but that easily could have been something on the floor above, even though the parking lot was empty, but never saw anything like it again. Other coworkers told me they've heard about ghost typing on the second floor. I worked on the first floor around certain vacant desks. Stress of the place could have just made us all go crazy while we were there. I don't know. I think if you, like, see a black figure running towards you, though, like, it's probably something.
Yeah, you're not going crazy, Lauren. Ooh, spooky thunder outside.
Oh, yeah, we should go outside and get some Foley background noise for this episode.
Okay, so our next one is from someone who wanted to remain anonymous. And this person says...
So here's their name, because we're not going to respect that. I'm just kidding.
So they said... I have a friend whose boyfriend, named Matt, passed away unexpectedly. It was devastating, to say the least. They spent a lot of time together at Myakka State Park, which is important to know for the story. A few years later, that friend and I took my niece, who was 4 at the time, to Myakka State Park, and we were sitting at a bench that my friend and her late boyfriend used to sit at together. Interrupting a prolonged silence, my niece blurts out, Matt told me to say hello. It was fucking crazy. My niece had never met or heard of Matt, so we don't know how to explain it. My car also broke down later on, which was pretty weird, and we were stuck at the park for 2 hours. We like to think Matt didn't want us to leave so soon.
That one's, like, very heartwarming to
me.
Yeah,
it's sweet. I like
also,
it.
Also, kids are fucking horrifying and definitely connected to the ghost world, so, like... They really creep me out.
Mm-hmm. Like, just like dogs, like, can see things that you can't see, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I also think cats. Like, there was one night where I was home alone, and Azula just, like, kept staring in this one open door, and it was, like, to the room where we sleep in now. Mm-hmm. And Evan used to swear that room was haunted all the time. He was like, this bitch is fucking haunted. And she just, like, she'll sit there for, like, 20 minutes just staring at the fucking open doorway. And I'm like, rip me.
No, thank you.
All right. So here is another story from Lauren because she is awesome.
And I think it's our last story for the
evening. Oh, shit. You about to finish this episode off. That was that was terrible. I'm in a weird mood tonight. Okay, so my mom worked as a colonial interpreter slash tour guide through various houses in colonial Williamsburg for a couple of years. One house in particular they always stationed her at was the Peyton Randolph House. I've heard it described as the most haunted house in the U.S. There's tons of history on it, but here's just a little bit. Which, like, she did research for us, and that was really nice.
I loved it.
So this is about the Peyton Randolph House. It's one of Williamsburg's oldest surviving buildings, built in 1715. Peyton Randolph, Thomas Jefferson's cousin, was a speaker of Virginia's House of Burgesses and a chairman of Continental Congress in the years leading up to the Revolution. He chaired the meeting during Patrick Henry's Patrick Henry's speech, "Give me liberty or give me death."
That's cool.
That is cool. Peyton died in 1775 and left the house to his widow Betty until her death in 1782. The house was later owned by the Peachy family and used as a hospital to treat wounded soldiers during the Battle of Williamsburg. Oh, yeah.
So definitely.
Definitely haunted. Fucking haunted. Yeah. Rochambeau, Lafayette, and Washington were some notable guests at the home. When Lafayette stayed in the Peyton Randolph House in 1824, he is noted to have written, "I considered myself fortunate to lodge in the home of a great man, Peyton Randolph. Upon my arrival, as I entered through the foyer, I felt a hand on my shoulder. It nudged me as if intending to keep me from entering. I quickly turned, but found no one there. The nights were not restful, as the sounds of voices kept me awake for most of my stay." And this is her mom's, like, personal account about working within the home. "The house itself feels sad. Several other employees have seen a woman in blue in one of the upper windows. I've heard voices in the house when I open in the morning, and I was all alone in the house. Other people have as well. The shades in the house have opened and shut when no one is in the house. When we were training, I fell down the stairs, not a long way, but I sometimes wonder if I wasn't pushed. I heard a story about a security guard before I came. It was his first and last night as a guard. He went to investigate an alarm that had gone off. He went down into the cellar to turn it off, and after about an hour, the other security guards realized they hadn't seen him for a while. They found him standing in the corner of the cellar, white as a sheet. He quit that night and refused to say what he saw." That's creepy. Also, because like her mom works there, we've gotten to go to Williamsburg. And every time we walk around at night,
mm-hmm.
and like just walking around feels like oppressive. Like even when you're outside, it's very, very creepy. And we were like exploring and we found like a little tiny like gate.
Mm-hmm.
That was at the back of this hill that was like locked and it led downstairs like outside and the steps were just like made of like dirt.
Oh.
And like it was just in this weird little area. It was very creepy. Just like everything about Williamsburg is very fucking creepy. It's probably just because it has to do with all the war that's there, mm-hmm. kind of like Corey. I think that those spirits, like, super do live on yeah. because people see them constantly.
I really want to go to Savannah and take a ghost tour.
Yeah.
Because I did that when I was younger, but not when I appreciated
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I really want to do a ghost tour at Williamsburg. And I did a ghost tour in St. Augustine, but it wasn't, like, it was a family one.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't very spooky.
That's what I did in Savannah.
Yeah. But we did go into the old jailhouse of St. Augustine and it was very fucking creepy. Like, because we went in at night. It's oh. like 11 o'clock at night.
Wow.
It's very uncomfortable.
See, because we went there like 2 years ago, but we did all that shit during the day.
Yeah. Those have been our fun and spooky stories. It's a short episode, but we just wanted to give you guys a little treat on Halloween. Yeah.
And thank you to everyone who submitted their stories, or that I pride proud of you because I did that for some people.
That's okay. But we really, really appreciate it, like Sarah said. And if you ever want to send us your stories, we are more than glad to take them because we love hearing creepy shit all the time.
And so. We will read them for everyone else to hear.
It's true. And
keep on binging. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Spooky season.
Bye.
See ya.